Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com is the website. Check out all the interviews from the past week. And also, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. What a little average white band. Pick up the pieces on this 24th day of August. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning. Are you out there in Thomaston?
Out there in Thomaston?
Thomaston. Georgia.
All right, now.
Home of the world's fastest guitar, banjo player. I always say that.
Yep.
Well, at least he called himself that. It was an act. And he called himself the world's fastest banjo player.
Yep.
Made his way around cruise ships and things like that. But, yeah. Nobody disputed it.
No.
How do you do that?
And also the home of the Georgia High School Association. And our guest is coming up, has been there a couple of times. We may ask him, what do you get? What do they serve at different places going to Thomaston? Because he would know.
Oh, okay. All right. And by the way, if you're just joining us here, we gave Noelle a little assignment because she did a WNBA update last segment. But as she was talking, it got me thinking about this league as it's continued to grow, Sam. They're going to start awarding or recognizing their past by naming some of the awards that they give out. And I had asked, and she goes, you didn't think there was an MVP. There was no name attached to the MVP or the Finals MVP or Eastern and Western Conference MVPs or Coach of the Year. So she's going to provide those names coming up in the in Noelle's world coming up at 8:40. You already thought that the league MVP in the WNBA should be named after Maya Moore.
Yep.
Okay.
She's at the top of the heap, man.
Yeah, no, I ain't arguing.
All she did was win, and she's our home, folks, Collins Hill High School.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, there's Sam's vote. I don't have one, but
I don't have one either.
We're going to find out what Noelle thinks coming up. Is our guest ready? He is ready.
Man, he's always ready.
Man. I can get his opinion on this. I don't know if he follows with Elle. Does Ellie play basketball? His daughter? Let's ask him. Why are we asking you? Welcome, Chris Parker. Man, hey, how you doing? And welcome to the show. And we started off with a question. Your daughter, who has been on the show.
Yes, she has.
For our They Got Next segment.
She is a superstar.
We just wondered aloud, is she playing basketball or any other sports?
No, she dances. She loves basketball. Her friends play basketball. She goes and watches and cheers the basketball team on, but she dances right now. We're dancing and doing school, Greg.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Get it right. That is the voice, of course, folks, of Chris Parker, my partner in crime for Friday night. We can't wait.
What's wrong? His voice is gone. Y'all just work him to death this weekend?
Well, I don't know.
It's just early, Greg. This early.
It's early.
I wake up for you guys, but it's early. Yeah, I'm good. I promise.
You
had your cup of coffee, your cup of cappuccino or something that year?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
All right. We'll try not to make things too difficult this morning.
Well, we'll appreciate you doing it because we know what we got coming up this week. And we're 2 weeks in, Chris. I know you got your thoughts on any teams you see. Of course, we saw Kale, and they were as advertised in the game that we saw during the Corky Kale Classic here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But as we get set for week three in our first week of the scoreboard show, what gets you all excited? Which team have you seen other than the Dragons of Pickens and their start, right? But who else are you seeing?
I'm excited to look at that top class, Sam. I think that's where we get the most people interested anyway. But, you know, Buford looks really good. They beat Milton. They beat Benedictine really bad this week. Grayson is one that beat a nationally ranked team this week. And Raymond Gap really beat Collins Hill, I think, 51-3 in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game they lost last year in the first game of the season. So I think there's some teams in there. You look at McEachern, okay? So McEachern, the Kareem Reed, you know, Coach Reed, great guy, has come up there, and they kind of struggled for a few years. You know, they struggled by their standard for a few years. Then maybe they'll be back. They beat North Cobb 21-0 this week. North Cobb's really good. That's probably the best two teams in Cobb County, and McEachern beat them by three touchdowns. So McEachern probably on the way back up. And then you get a little little taste of South Georgia teams are pretty good. Colquitt County, Lowndes, some of them, see if they can creep into that group too. We haven't had a South Georgia state champion in over a decade now, or right at a decade.
Wow. We'll watch for that. We'll watch for that and see what happens if a team comes from down there. Folks, we spent some time on the wayforward.com hotline with Chris Parker. We always like to have him on with us. He is social. In case we remind you this Friday night, he is social. You can find him at Chris_Parker222. Talk about this team that Grayson played, because Raven Gap is an interesting, you know, scenario. They are physically located in the state of Georgia, but most of the teams they play are in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, they're in Georgia. You could probably hit a golf ball to North Carolina from where they are, but they're in Georgia, right in the corner in Raven County, and it's a boarding school, if I understand right. It's a school, you know, it's just a different kind of school. It's not a private school. It's not a public school, and so they don't participate in the GHSA. They participate in North Carolina's association, but because they're able to board students, it can become like an IMG type place, if people understand what that is, where they can really just go get talented players and put them on the team, and they can give more resources for them or things like that. So they become a national powerhouse by doing that, but it's not really a team that's in our association. And IMG is a similar place like that in Florida. They're not in that Florida association. They just bounce around and play games. And, you know, Grayson was able to play them and was able to win the game this week.
They had to come from behind, though. I think Brandon Gray had a 43-yard touchdown with about a minute and some change left in the game, because Raven Gap was up on Grayson to tell you about the caliber of talent they have on that team up there.
Yeah, it's a really good team. And then this week, I think Grayson plays Thompson, who's Alabama's defending state championship in their highest class, Thompson High School. And I want to say Thompson High School's won like 5 state championships in the last 7 or 8 years in that highest class in Alabama. It's in Alabaster, Alabama, Sam. I know you're familiar with that area.
Yeah, very much. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Got him. Mark Freeman's the coach there, one of the best coaches in the United States of America, Mark Freeman. Grayson beat him in overtime last year. That ought to be a good game. So Grayson really coming out of the gate with some huge matchups.
Chris, talk about bouncing back. You know, you go out, everybody wants to win the first game, but you don't win the first game. And then you had several teams that bounced back this week. One of those teams is Woodward Academy. They lost the season opener. They came back and they beat Collins Hill. Stars Mill lost to Northgate to open the season. They came back and did one, get a win. South Paulding came back. We saw them the opening night. They came back for a win, and Walton did. Talk about bouncing back and how important that is.
Yeah, all losses really aren't the same, Sam. They all count the same on your record, but that's a great point. You know, the way football works in high school, you start in really in January, maybe even December, and you start talking about next year, and you start lifting weights and running and doing your walkthroughs and your OTAs, and everything's about that team. So, you know, for South Paulding, everything was about getting ready for Kale. We're playing in the Corky Kale. We got the first game of the year. We're getting ready for the game. You talk about that for 8 months, okay? So when you don't play well or you don't perform how you expected, it is more of an issue than in some of the other losses. So then you see what kind of team you got. You see what kind of coaching staff you've got when you can come back and compete from that. Can you let that disappointment in 1 week that you built up for 8 months, does that disappointment linger for the next week? It's actually really easy to do that, right? If you've been disappointed on something you built up for 8 months, it would make sense that a week later you'd still be disappointed, but you can't do that. And so you gave some great examples there of teams who the game didn't go the way they wanted, especially like Stars Mill. You know, they expected to beat Northgate, right? They expected to win that game. And when you don't, do you let that linger into the next week? And the good teams, the good coaching staffs are able to find ways not to do that. That's true in the NFL. It's true in high school. It's just harder in high school because you're dealing with younger players and more emotions, and they are more likely to let things linger and one game affect the next. But, yeah, the early season losses can be really difficult to manage because the emotions of players who all think they're going undefeated. You know, on August 1st, everybody was going undefeated.
Right.
You get to September 1st and only, you know, a third of the team still even have that option.
You know, it's funny. I never thought about that, and I could imagine how that would affect younger players than it would college and obviously pros. But I'm going to ask, and he's articulated it well, that is actually a thing on the high school level, especially these kids who think about playing, whether it's the early games of Corky Kelbo or at Mercedes-Benz. I can imagine what those teams feel like, and the coaching staffs getting those teams ready to play there, and then they absorb a loss. And it takes them a minute and a half.
Yeah, so, and the thing that's interesting about high school, Greg, is you, the coach usually can set up the first couple games. So the state organization is going to give you your region schedule, which in most places is 7 or 8 games. Then the first few games of the year, the coaches of teams in the state just get together and say, hey, you want to play us on this day at this time? Sure or no. And there's really a lot of thought put into, can we get some momentum early in the season versus do we need to play tough competition like in the Corky Kale? And there's a real balance there on, you know, there's a risk reward of if we win that early game. I think McEachern winning that game in the Corky Kale, okay, they dominated. That was a huge plus for Coach Reed. And then they go to North Cobb, probably an even tougher game, and play great this week because of that momentum they captured in the first game. And then you look at the other side, if you lose those first games, you got to really regroup. And so you're taking a gamble playing the really tough teams in the first couple games, but that gamble can pay off. And the teams that want to compete for state championship, that's what they actually want. But, yeah, momentum is really important in the first game or two, and then how the coaching staff can manage it both ways. It really shows you where the maturity of some of these teams are.
I talk about some people who are off to some surprising starts, a couple of teams that, you know, struggled in recent years, and talk about maybe that, because we're going to talk about something new this year on the show, On the Rise. What players are on the rise, maybe guys who are flying below the radar, and what teams are on the rise. And right now, I got two I want to think about. Lassiter is 2-0, and Lithonia is 2-0. And these teams look like something different is happening this season. Talk about when a program's been down for a while, expectations maybe a little low, and to get off to a good start, the difference it makes.
Well, and that falls into the last discussion, Sam, because the more tradition the place has, the less of a big deal it is what Greg and I were talking about. I mean, you know, if you're really, really, really good, if you're Buford, if you're Milton, one of them had to lose, they're 0-1, no big deal. But if you're Lassiter, that momentum really matters. You want these kids to believe in everything they've done the last 8 weeks. So getting the first win, the second win becomes huge. So Lassiter, Lithonia, I had another L, Locust Grove, Sam.
Yeah.
Look at Locust Grove, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Sam Crenshaw article worthy team. Locust Grove, they're 2-0. I mean, they won 2 games in 5 years combined, I don't think, you know, in the few years before. So they Locust Grove, Lassiter, Lithonia, 3 places that are doing well, and keep an eye on them. And maybe they only end up going 5-5 or something like that, Sam, but man, that's something for them. Some of those teams like that going 5-5 is about like some of these teams we talk a lot going 9-1, 10-0. For the level of what they're able to do. So your job as a coach is to reach your team's maximum potential. What is like the ceiling, the best this team can do? And I'm telling you, sometimes 5-5 is it.
Yep.
And there's some people, but the way to get to that 5-5 is you got to win those games you can win. And we named 3 teams right there that are kind of on that radar. And, you know, you and I both like this. We like finding those teams and talking about them because it's easy to talk about all those other teams. We're going to do them too. But I like finding those teams. So, yeah, it's exciting. So we got a new segment that's going to highlight those teams and players, right?
Absolutely. On the Rise, it's brought up, along with the other things, of course, you know, coaches' checklist, going to have a, you know, opening drive, going to have school days, obviously, and those
look at things. You too, man.
We're just saying we're going to have.
Yeah, we're going to sell that whole show.
We got Day-Day. We're going to have Gary. We're going to have Eric Slaughter. All over the place,
man.
Checking out the games, and we're going to do that. And also, before we go, Chris, I always want to let you take people who are coaching or working with coaches, especially new coaches, Parker Resources, right?
Yeah, you can go to parkerresource.org or follow on social media. Try to put a lot of stuff out, you know, for free, and there's some other things you can get, but, you know, just free stuff, content, trying to help out coaches get organized, communicate better, build better relationships, all those things. So glad to have that platform, and always excited to talk to you guys on a Sunday morning. Good to hear y'all on the Sunday.
Yeah, but he got that business voice this morning.
He's ready, man.
Yeah, we get him up early.
Till 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, okay, I know that now.
Yeah. 6 o'clock on Friday, it's going to be on. But before that, I'm all busy.
Chris, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, man. Chris, thank you as always.
We'll see you Friday.
Thanks, yeah, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And tell Ellie we said hello.
Yep, do that. All right, man.
You dancing our way away there. There was a call in the casting call, by the way, for dancers this week.
Really?
Yeah. Dancers and not those kind of dancers. I'm talking about actual
really dancers.
Well, you know, you say that in 2025 and people immediately go there.
No.
Especially here in Atlanta. You know, next thing you talk about, you go from talking about dancers, and then they think of that, and then they got to ask about lemon pepper wings.
We got to find a new place to dance because one of these places is going away.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
How about that?
Oh, man. The 90s are gone. Yeah. I don't hear about this. We'll talk about that a little bit. Maybe I'll talk about during casting call.
All right. Why don't we do that?
I didn't get much of my money either over the years. You would think so. By the way, you can see the casting call. It is up on Get Cast with Greg on X and 929thegame.com/casting call. There is a fresh one. But up next, we can't talk about this stuff with Karen. Karen Pestana will be joining us. Tennis Panorama, not just friend of the show, relative of the show, getting a set for the U.S. Open. She's next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
But our producer can't stand Alicia Keys.
Why?
Well, we've asked that question. So she put her feelings aside for the betterment of the show.
Okay.
Greg, you would be shocked.
What's that?
You would be shocked. I willingly played an Alicia Keys song this week.
That's what I'm... Ooh, you did.
Willingly.
No. Teenage Love Affair. It's like the one Alicia Keys song I like.
Wow.
I even watched the video.
Yeah, see?
We know that you don't... We know how you feel about her.
Yeah.
And everybody's
so
got
likes.
I must
really like that one.
Pardon?
I said, so I must really like that
you
one.
You must, and you did it for our guest and where we're going with this segment. Of course, getting ready for the U.S. Open up in New York.
Yeah.
Karen Pestana. We didn't talk to Karen in a minute. Good morning, Karen. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Did you know that our producer felt that way about Alicia Keys?
No, I didn't. I happen to like Alicia Keys, but I like the Empire State of Mind there. That's predominantly Alicia Keys. There's multiple versions,
right?
And I like her version better than Jay-Z. Sorry.
Well,
Jay-Z,
we had to put up with Jay-Z because that was the only way she's gonna play it. we had to water down Alicia a little bit for Noel, but that's okay.
See.
On this 24th day. Listen, how's the last few weeks been since we talked to you since the end of Wimbledon?
All right. Always busy and surprises on the tennis tour in general. A few big surprises, actually. If we start off with Coco Gauff, she had a bit of a... a few problems with her serve, well, not just her serve, but her game in general since. And she has an additional coach.
Well, that's
she
what I was going to ask.
She has a new serving coach.
But this is
new serving coach who is Aryna Sabalenka's old serving coach.
My question is, are you surprised at the amount of times, because this isn't the first time she's changed coaches, that she's done this many times so early on? Or is that, because I really haven't paid attention, for the ones who have had success in the sport, is that something that happens somewhat regularly, or is this she an outlier?
I'll just put it to you this way. In the last 5 years, I would say it seems to happen regularly. And I think from what I have noticed, it's happened more on the women's side than the men's side. For example, so back when Emma Raducanu won the U.S. Open, coming from the qualifying to win, she wins the U.S. Open. A couple months later, she gets rid of her coach. I'm like, what?
Yeah, really?
And since then, she's had multiple coaches. And other players, the same thing has been happening. I guess people lack patience, but people steal each other's coaches because they've helped them in some way, shape, or form. So it's like the same group of coaches keep moving around.
I'm curious about this, and I jumped on Sam because I want to do a little follow-up here. Is what you're saying sort of a byproduct of today's player? Because you and I have talked about this in your recent visits, where some of these ladies, and it's on the lady side, they achieve success, and we've seen from Ash Barty to a few others, they just, I've had enough. I don't want the grind anymore. I've made enough money. Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to go and just relax on a yacht someplace in the Mediterranean, and they leave the sport. or they may go and start a family. It just seems like the mentality and the approach to the sport of the, I won't say a certain group, I'm not going to say millennials or Gen Zers or whatever, but as you said, over the last 5 years, 10 years, that's been somewhat of a thing. Is that a fair way to pose that question? Because I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Ash Barty was an exception. She accomplished what she wanted in her career. I mean, her goal was always to win your homeland slam, the Australian Open, and she did even better. She won her first major was the French Open, a surface that she never really seemed to master, and here she is winning it the first time in the first final she ever made. So to that was a shock. So winning Wimbledon and the Australian Open bonus is like, oh, I achieved my dream. I'm worth so many, whatever, $35 million. And I'm getting married. I'm out. And now she has two kids.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Well, that's it.
Folks, no, it's not a trend. I mean, she's an exception. Okay. She's definitely an exception.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline as the U.S. Open starts in just a couple of hours. And Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama News. And she is social. Always find everything that she has, all of her great work, you can find at Tennis News TPN, at Tennis News TPN. Okay, we're getting started today on a Sunday, and we're going to see our home folks in action on court, the new men's number 6 player in the world. And Ben Shelton's playing today, I believe. What do we expect from him in this tournament?
Well, I think, you know, every year he gains experience. And I think he's kind of reined in the, I like to say it's brain cramps or sometimes carelessness when you're coming up as a youngster and you try this and that just to see if it works. I think he's reined in some of that. And I think he has, at this point, he should make the quarters. But we'll see. He's doing pretty well. We'll see. And here he is. He's leading off the tournament on Ash. That's a big compliment. I mean, that's huge. Also, too, he's number 6, but he's the number 2 American male player after Taylor Fritz. So, you know, things are moving up.
Fritz is also in action today, but also the player that he is just above. Novak Djokovic is now down to number 7. He's looking up at Shelton. Djokovic plays today, too.
Yes, he does. He plays a teenager, Lerner Tien. Lerner, he's been doing well for a teenager, but I really do think that Djokovic is probably going to school him today. I hate to use that expression. but it's all great experience for Lerner. To be on center court, a night match against the man who has 24 majors, and it's all a good experience for him.
Yeah, yeah, we got another home person that's playing, McCartney Kessler. She's a 32 seed. Shout out to Calhoun, Georgia, all the folk up there. she's going to play today. She's had quite a, you know, she's really climbed the ladder this season, had some setbacks recently, but thoughts about her playing up the U.S. Open?
Well, you know, it's funny with her. She's been moving up, and it's in a way she's been moving up quietly. And in a way, that is a good thing because she can play freer, so to speak. But the U.S. women, they have just taken over, so to speak. I mean, right now, yesterday, the USTA put out some statistics. 48 U.S. players are in the singles draw for the U.S. Open. 48. I don't think there have been that many since probably the 80s. The 80s or early 90s.
Wow.
So, you know, USA tennis, yeah.
It is. That's happened. That is fantastic. Now, the real tournament starts today, but there have been activities and matches being played all this previous week. Talk about this week leading up to the week, because they've been the mixed doubles, the different matches and different events that you can go out and see the stars. And these tickets are a little bit more affordable than what you're going to pay starting today. So to me, that's a chance to go the week before you can still get into place, right?
Yeah. Last week, was what they call Fan Week, but it's also the week of the qualifying tournament. Now, the qualifying tournament, there's 16 places in each singles draw where they have qualifiers, and this is the tournament that you're playing to try to get one of those spots. Now, that was busy, but what was really busy was the fact that they had the mixed doubles tournament within 2 days, on Tuesday and Wednesday. What they did was they changed the format. Instead of the traditional six games a set, they're playing what they call fast four. So each set, you get to four games and you win the set. Now, it's no ad scoring. And if it's four all, you play a tie break. You can win the set 5-3 because it has to be by a two-game advantage, yes, except for the final. The final was different. But the USTA decided to invite mostly singles players. And in fact, there was only one doubles team that was invited, and that was defending champions Babasori and Irani. Now, originally, they weren't even going to invite them, but people put up such a stink about it. It's like, how could you not invite the mixed doubles champions from the year before? And, of course, the mixed doubles champions win because the other teams, although a lot of them do play, some of them do play doubles, they're not used to playing doubles with each other. So as people termed it, it was like these shotgun wedding pairings to play in the U.S. Open for this big money grab. But in the end, the doubles team, the true doubles team won.
Yeah, we're watching. They're just doing something different up at U.S. Open. I think it's fun. And my goodness, that logo, that painting, that T-shirt, the owner's Althea Gibson, I got to get me one of those. Very cool, right?
That and the new drink this year.
Yeah, well, the drink was last year.
Okay, you ain't got no new drink this year?
He's talking about the Honey Deuce, but the Honey Deuce has been around.
Oh, yeah, they've had the Honey Deuce for a while now. Yeah. they actually, believe it or not, I think it's on the U.S. Open site. You can actually order a Honey Deuce kit.
Whoa.
I remember this because a couple of years ago, somebody sent me one of these things, and I'm like,
oh,
my
somebody
goodness,
just sent you one out of nowhere. Kit. Come on, Karen. Come on now.
you think she's...
I don't know.
Telling a fib or something?
No, but that's just cool. Somebody
no,
was
but somebody
it.
Said somebody sent my husband and I a Honey Deuce kit.
Okay.
Nice. I don't get on that list, but Karen does. That's nice. Karen, we appreciate you spending some time
yes,
with us on this
indeed.
On this opening morning.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
It started today, and we'll be checking back in with you.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you next week.
Will do. All right. Will do, guys.
Thank you, Karen.
Yep.
Check out Tana's panorama. When y'all started talking about her husband, I shut up. You noticed that, right?
But she said that the Honey Deuce kit sent to your house. That's pretty impressive.
Happy 60th birthday.
Happy birthday
to these two people born on the same day.
Same day.
Actress Marlee Matlin.
Okay.
And Reggie Miller. And
really? Okay. Same day.
Same day.
Wow.
There you go. All right. Up next, I can't wait to hear this list. I can't wait. We gave Noelle a little assignment earlier. It's Noelle's World up next. You're going to get all of that, but she's got a little something extra. So normally she don't have it. Today, Noelle, something extra. Looking
yeah.
forward to this. She's going to give you the names of the WNBA year-end awards. At least they don't have one yet. They don't have one now, but they may. And these are the names that she has chosen. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com is the website. Check out the interviews from all the shows from this past week. Also, take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg. You know what I enjoy when I bop around on the internet and you stop in certain places or YouTube, you're looking for something, and a bunch of shorts pop up from famous people telling stories of their time with Prince. There's like this whole thing of people telling Prince stories.
Right, right.
And how he just shows up at places. I mean, everything from the after parties at Saturday Night Live to sitting courtside at NBA and the players not knowing that he could play basketball.
Yeah.
And finding out. And anyway, it's just that made me think about that. Anyway, coming up, top of the hour, we are going to talk college football. We are here. Had John Grant on last week, but you were part of the MEAC SWAC Challenge. We're going to talk about that. May have a special guest, but college football right around the corner. And before we do that, let's make fun of Greg and talk about what I did yesterday when I called you, when I was trying to line up college football guests for the show. So we'll talk about that coming up.
Yeah, we will.
But it
yeah,
is time for Noelle's World. We just like turn things over to her. Yeah, I'm going to fall on the sword big time. Anyway, we didn't even tell Noelle that either. She's going to crack up with this. Anyway, good morning. We should say it back to her.
Yeah.
But, all right, while she's fumbling around, let me tell you what the assignment we gave her was. We do a WNBA segment. We did it in the first hour. And as Noelle was running down things and you and her were talking about stuff, I was thinking to myself and just how this league is flourishing. And what we know is right around the corner, the new CBA, and they're going to – I mean, the league is going to explode. But I was thinking about – the little extra stuff that, like, the NBA has that the WNBA doesn't have yet, but it will probably get. And that is the year-end awards and have them named after WNBA greats. So I asked her if there is a name attached to some of these awards. She said no. I said, all right, well, now I'm deputizing you. You be the person who names the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, the Finals MVP, the season regular season MVP, right. Mm-hmm. And the coach of the year. She threw in six man. I don't know if you can call it six man when it's WNBA, but anyway. Let's get those awards from, I think, the best person of the three of us to name them. Although, okay. I should say, off the top, when I mentioned the season MVP, you immediately said Maya Moore.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you put her? How many finals was she a part of? How many rings she got?
I don't know. She went about three or four. I mean, and then, well, this WNBA, but all she did was win.
Right.
Earned a couple of Olympic gold medals, I think three NCAAs in three states here in Georgia.
But there's women who are great players who may have more.
May have more.
Okay.
Yeah.
More rings than Maya Moore.
Yeah.
I say that because obviously when you talk about the NBA, it starts and ends with Bill Russell.
Right.
But they were greater players than Bill Russell. But he's the winningest.
But some folks will argue that point too. Now,
I'm sorry. Center.
Okay, I'm in the time that he played. That's the thing you're talking about. The time that he played. Now, everything we talk about guys in that era, we talk about the era,
right.
And how they would fit in now. But as far as the era goes, he could do it all.
He was a center on that team that won umpteen championships. But he is
and a player coach.
Yes, he was. And
so
and
how many guys? How many guys could do that now?
No. I'm not even worth debate.
Talking about you want to divide a locker room.
But I'm talking about that position and his size.
Do that now.
He's the size of the person who's considered the greatest point guard in NBA history.
True.
I'm just saying. Anyway, we're talking over Noel's segment here. Yeah. Good morning. Come on in here. You need to tell us to just shut up. We're like the old two dudes in the balcony on the Muppets.
LOL. All right, we'll run through this quick because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time.
She handled that nice.
She did.
Come on, Noel. Come on.
I'll give you some casting call.
There you go.
Let's see. MVP, I am sticking with Cynthia Cooper.
Okay.
Finals MVP, Maya Moore.
Okay.
East West, East Tina Charles, West Lisa Leslie. Rookie of the Year, I threw that in there, Candace Parker.
Okay.
I'm thinking Tarazi ought to be in here somewhere, but keep on going.
See, you're not wrong. And maybe Tarazi should be your Eastern player of the year.
Yeah.
See, this is tough.
Well, no, she played out West though.
I meant to say West.
Right.
I meant to say, and that's what makes it tough because I gave that to Lisa Leslie. Yeah. Exactly. That's what makes it tough.
Yeah.
Coach of the Year is the only one I'm stuck on. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Because the coach of the Houston team was Van Chancellor.
Right.
All those years, who had coached at Ole Miss.
Yep. And I feel like it could be either Vance Chancellor right now or Becky Hammon.
Becky Hammon.
I was going to say Becky.
Coaching her old team, even though they moved from San Antonio to Vegas, you know, coaching your old team in the championships and woot-de-woot, womp-de-womp. And even this even this dig-in job she got them doing right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, the woody whooping and the won't do one is all the negative stuff we don't want to focus on. We just put that in that bag.
And find out about that 100 grand, too, would you please?
Yeah, in Vegas. What happened to that? What happened to the 100 grand for players? Because everybody was going to want to come and play in Vegas.
I am on the mission. They say that money was on the table again for this season. So we got to see. Yeah, we got to see what happened.
They squashed that.
We got to see what happened with that.
All right.
We need to give it to them kids playing in the Little League Championship. World Series.
All right, let's run through the news that moves me.
Okay.
And if you don't get it all, you can have some casting call. I know Sam and I we wouldn't shut up, so I'm going to give you part of my segment coming up next hour if you don't get it all. So pace yourself.
All right, we got Michael Parsons eating nachos on the sideline.
Yep.
As he waits for whatever is going to happen with that situation down in Dallas.
How y'all feel about that?
Wow. Entertaining to me because it ain't my team.
Right. Somebody's lying.
Now, if it was somebody here, I would be upset that this went on this long. I'm not going to say I'd be upset with the player or the franchise or the front office or the coach or whatever. I would be upset that this has gone on too long and that y'all need to wrap this up because y'all got like a bye week before week one.
How do you feel about how what you are hearing or being reported as the process? That Jerry Jones went and had a conversation with Mike, invited him over. You know, he got this relationship with ex-players and these current players, and he feels like – well, he can just go and talk to him. So he invited him. As the story goes, they sat down and had a conversation about whatever's supposed to happen next. Just him and Micah, 25-year-old player. No agent. Player.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Jerry Jones and the people on his side of the fence, that was the negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Without his representation.
Now, here's the problem. He's been able to get away with that in his own words because he's been naming actual players that he's done this with, and they've been necessarily okay. Or from his words, the players have tweeted something
but
else.
The agents got in there eventually.
This has gone on for so long with Jerry that this is how he's used to negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
So he does think this is right.
Yeah.
And we've just run into this window where Jerry's out of touch with what's going on in football. And it might be time for Jerry to get out of these conversations because to be all up in arms and go on a media tour about a player being unwilling to negotiate with you without your agent is just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I will step in and say the tour is not so much about Micah as it's about that documentary that they got coming out. And so he's doing this to promote this documentary. In that interview, much from Stephen A. Smith and all the other places, because this is news, they ask him about the Micah situation. And he makes the comment, and that's what we get on ESPN and all the other places. But he's on tour for this documentary.
But you know you're on tour, and there are ways that you can handle that conversation without trying to throw Micah and his reputation under the bus. So you're on a media tour to trash Michael Parsons because you can have that conversation without doing that.
Yeah,
so this is a part
of
his media tour. I'm not giving him a pass on that. This is a part of your media tour.
Oh, yeah, he's made it that. Yes, he's absolutely made it that.
Yes, because we could have not done that. So to your point, he's out there for other reasons, but he's definitely using this to his advantage, so he thinks, to try to make this happen. But to me, it just makes Jerry and the Cowboys look worse. This makes you look worse because you're clearly trying to take advantage of a 25-year-old player and not pay them what they're worth. And that's why you don't want to talk to the agent and you throwing out people's names like Michael Irvin when you did it in 1992 with him.
No, that was Emmitt Smith.
And he's throwing out a lot of names. Well, I'm not talking about just sitting out, but I'm talking about the way he's negotiated with these players.
Oh, absolutely.
Jerry keeps bringing that up as a way of saying this is okay and why won't he just fall in line with how it's
always
been.
But
this ain't that. Yesterday's price ain't today's price, Jerry.
We need to send folks back. We need to send folks back to I think it was Thursday, ESPN Bart Scott. They played the sound of Jerry responding. Actually, he sat down with Stephen A. I think it was Friday.
He did.
And Bart Scott went he just got raw. He was Bart Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, Bart.
Scott.
Bart Scott. So I'm just saying, go back and listen to that. I'm not going to try and parrot it all back there. But yes, there is an old school way about the way he does things. He's been getting away with it. But from Dak to CeeDee Lamb, eventually that agent got in the room.
Mm-hmm.
What has been said this past week about him saying Micah's agent told him to take the paperwork and, you know, and all of that. Somebody is not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm going to say is that we all say that we think Jerry should do this and Jerry should do that, and I will just say this statement and we can move on. The color of the sky in a billionaire's world is different than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
No doubt.
I heard this fabulous quote that I thought was hilarious. It was from somebody that's been a personal assistant for, you know, these rich entities. And he was saying that to the people that he knows, he doesn't wish them over $399 million because after that, reality gets real distorted. And I thought it was funny because it's such an astronomical amount,
mm-hmm.
but it does show like there's levels to richness, and we all know that Jerry is well and beyond $399.
Well, when you get to a certain point, you stop calling it rich.
Right, exactly.
It is wealth.
It's just life.
No, it's wealth. And you go from rich to wealthy and then something else, whatever they call Bezos. You know, there's that level. But anyway, okay, so we got that. What else is on your mind?
We're about to get out of here, but I will leave y'all with Woolworths is about to take its last breath.
I heard.
It's still a Woolworths store?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a Woolworths from time to time. I don't, you know, I can't give you an exact intersection.
Gone.
Nope.
Woolworth's still around.
Dude,
Kmart gone?
Well,
Kmart, I don't know. I know there's a Blockbuster.
Or just one.
Yeah,
there's one.
Still one.
Well, there's not very many actual Woolworths, but really I'm talking about Foot Locker.
That's near and dear to somebody's heart. Right?
Yeah. Woolworths is about to take its last breath as they will no longer be the parent company of Foot Locker if this new merger with Dick's Sporting Goods clears. So things are in the works.
So what happens to the stores in the malls? Because, you know, you got some malls
that have
Dick's.
They'll just be owned by Dick's. Or Dick's will either repurpose them into smaller Dick's or they'll just leave them Foot Lockers. Like, they'll probably keep the brand because it's so synonymous. It's just Foot Locker's kind of been hemorrhaging money right now, so they're looking for a way out. And Dick's Sporting Goods is looking for that brand to get in. So
the first place that comes to mind to me, right? Well, you could say Lenox, but the first one to come to mind to me is Cumberland. Because you got a Dick's right at the end of the built into the mall. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we will be saying goodbye officially to Woolworths soon. I know y'all thought they were already gone, but not quite. Not quite. The black and white stripes are still Woolworths.
Yeah, the stripes still going to be there? Are they going to change the stripes?
I don't think they'll change any of it. They will probably maintain all of the same branding and stuff that you know. Foot Locker's already cut down a lot of divisions. There's no more Lady Foot Locker. There's no more Foot Action. So they've already pared down divisions a lot. So they'll just be a part of the Dick's Sporting Goods family.
You know what I saw this past weekend, which it just as we wrap up your segment, and I was thinking of you guys, there was YouTube popped up that video of the intro. This is old school. When Jordan's Bulls came here and played Dominique's Hawks, and it was an NBC game. And so they put the two stars there in the intro package, and they put the Genesis Phil Collins song. He's got a name. What's it? Oh, I forgot the song.
In the Air Tonight?
No. It's the line from the song. He's got a name. He's got a number. Da 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 da. It'll come up with anyway. But they were showing these two, and it got me thinking. And you tell me if this is an apt analogy. Jordan and Dominique then were to basketball, what, and keeping in the movies, what Astaire and Kelly were to the film industry and dancing. Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly,
yeah,
Dominique, and Michael Jordan.
Ooh.
Is that not dead on?
That's pretty strong. It's pretty strong. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We'll say that.
We're talking about this past week. Yeah, say it out loud. Because, you know, you talk about the two dancers, and then you talk about these two. And listen, Vince Carter and the other dunkers that you could throw in there. But Dominique was the hammer-down dunker back then. And Jordan was all finesse. And then we got to talk. And then we were talking movies, of course. And we threw, that's like Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly. Pretty good?
Yeah.
If I got the thumbs approval from you, then I feel like it's pretty good. All right, coming up, Joe Patrick's going to – we're going to talk Falcons with Joe Patrick, our own Joe Patrick. Got a fresh casting call. I know Noelle's got a couple other things, so I'm going to give her some time on the casting call where I let you know about the job opportunities that are out there. You can see the list now on Get Cast with Greg. But up next, Mr. Crenshaw, you were in the booth for the MEAC SWAC Challenge.
Was there.
We're going to talk
last
about,
night.
We're going to talk about that next. Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.